RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, my listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, and Focus for Ukraine, Headline Newspaper, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Army to deploy to Eastern Outer Island. Indonesia remains cautious over Chinese economy. Now the news in details. The Indonesian military TNI will deploy more personnel and additional weapons to protect Eastern Outer Islands, which currently lack security, saying an improved watch on border areas will prevent smuggling, sea crimes, incursions, and other threats to Indonesia's sovereignty. Army spokesperson Brigadier General Sabrar Fadila to the Jakarta Post said the reinforcement would be adjusted to conditions on the outer island, including poor infrastructure that renders them unsuitable for large troop numbers and heavy weapons. He stressed that the 10E would also add more security posts in the eastern border area in outer island, but the decision would depend on the threat level and needs. He declined to elaborate on the estimated number of personnel that would be deployed or how many security posts would be established. Gatot earlier revealed to journalists that many outer islands located in eastern Indonesia lack security personnel and were abandoned. He cited, for example, Somlaki, the main town on Yamden Island in the southeastern border of Maluku Island, which has only two Navy security posts and two units of the village supervisory non-commissioned officers. Despite improvement in the domestic economy, Indonesia must remain aware of the China effect, as that country's volatile stock market and depreciating currencies will affect Indonesia's stock market and the rupiah due to the capital outflows. Chinese economic turbulence had caused the renminbi traded in the Shanghai-based China foreign exchange trade system to fall by more than 1.5% against the dollar in the past week, the largest decline since August 11, 2015, when its central bank announced a foreign exchange rate reform. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said Bank Indonesia had been watching development in the Chinese economy and its impact on Indonesia, given China's position as one of Indonesia's main trading partners. According to him, further depreciations on renminbi amid a downward trend in commodity prices and global politics would have an impact on the other economies, including Indonesia. In general, he continued, Indonesia's economy had improved due to a narrower current account deficit and begin inflation. The market, Agus claimed, was responding positively to the government's measures and optimism. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi began her visit to the Middle East on Tuesday, January 12, 2016. She brings a letter from the Indonesian President Joko Widodo for the King of Saudi Arabia and the President of Iran. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi to media at the Foreign Affairs Ministry office in Jakarta on Tuesday, January 12, 2016, emphasized that Indonesia is a neutral country to the conflict between the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Dan sekali lagi saya ingin tegaskan bahwa Indonesia adalah
And once again I would like to emphasize that Indonesia is a neutral country. We are friends to the two countries. So whoever we would visit first, it is only a schedule issue. It depends on the time made available and there is no other intention because our neutrality that allows us to do that.
Retno LP Marsudi explained that besides to deliver the Indonesian President Joko Widodo's letter directly to the leaders of Saudi Arabia and Iran, she will also discuss many things with the foreign minister of both countries. The Indonesian government has committed to help to reduce the tensions between the government of Saudi Arabia and Iran after the death executions of 47 peoples that carried out by the government of Saudi Arabia, including the famous Shiite scholar
Nimeral Nimeron last January 2, 2016. President Widodo had earlier remarked that he would send a special envoy in response to the conflict and the deteriorating relations between Iran and Saudi Arabia. Indonesia and Singapore governments' plans to strengthen cooperation in various fields, among others in the economic field, especially in the agribusiness sector and Indonesian workers. That was stated by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi to media after a bilateral meeting with Minister of Foreign Affairs of Singapore Vivian Balakrishnan at the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday. According to Minister Retno, Indonesia will be able to meet the Singapore's demand for agribusiness products and caregivers. So we focus on economic cooperation because soon we do not know the exact time. But this year, the Prime Minister of Singapore will visit Indonesia. So we focus on the economic cooperation as I said previously, plus two additional requests from us for our agribusiness products export because there are needs and we have the ability. So we match. The second one is about Indonesian workers who already have to move forward to be skilled laborers, because there are also needs for caregivers and therapists. So that is what we were talking about.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi said the bilateral relation between Indonesia and Singapore are the most intensive bilateral relations due to the very close geographical locations of the two countries. Previously, at a press statement with the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Singapore, Minister Retno Marsudi said that in the trade field, Singapore is the second largest partner for Indonesia after China, because the trade value of the two countries in 2014 reached $42 billion. While in the tourism sector, the number of Singaporean tourists who visited Indonesia in 2014 reached 1.5 million people. Minister Retno Marsudi also noted that in the investment field, Singapore is the largest investor in Indonesia, with the investment realization reached $5.8 billion in 2014. Meanwhile, on the same occasion, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Singapore, Vivian Balakrishnan, explained that Indonesia is the fourth largest trading partner for Singapore after China, Malaysia, and the United States. Besides, many more Singaporean companies intend to invest in Indonesia, but they are still waiting for regulation of Indonesian government. Indonesian Minister of Trade Thomas Lembong, on press conference after signing Memorandum of Understanding with National Board of Employment and Protection of Indonesian Migrant Workers at the Ministry of Trade in Jakarta on Tuesday, assessed that Indonesian export of food and beverage in 2016 tends to boost. It is because the export is getting stable every year.
Kebetulan juga di sektor ekspor itu satu titik cerah untuk Indonesia dalam beberapa tahun ini.
Actually, there is a good hope for Indonesia's export this year. The export of variety of food and beverage tends stable, even to increase. I think Indonesia can show off fashion because I see that Indonesia has creativity in that field. Indonesian people are fashionable. Their taste is good. The more specific is Islamic fashion for Muslim women. If I see that Indonesian designers have capability to modify Muslim women traditions wears with modern design, it is modern. Minister of Trade Thomas Lembong also said the Indonesian export of food and beverage has big opportunity, even by having a lot of Indonesian workers in foreign countries. They can also promote Muslim style wares so that foreigners can be interested. This news comes to you from Rural Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said on Tuesday that the coordinating minister for economy will announce the 9th economy policy package soon. Pramono said in principle the policy package was being issued to enhance competitiveness, make the investment scenario more alluring, and to protect domestic business players. All this was being done in the framework of expediting work this year. The government had earlier come up with 8 economic policy package, with the first one focused on making the national industry more competitive, expediting national strategic projects, and enhancing investment in the property sector. The latest one focused on the development of oil refineries and incentives for aircraft maintenance companies. Indonesia has allowed foreigners to own houses for up to 80 years in an effort to show a friendlier face to people who might come and bring investment with them. The Cabinet Secretariat said on its website on Tuesday that President Joko Widodo signed a regulation late last year giving foreigners the right to buy a landed house for 3 decades, with a possible extension of another 50 years. The Cabinet Secretariat said to be eligible, the foreigners has to live, work or invest in Indonesia and provide benefits to the country. Under previous rules, foreigners could buy houses for 25 years and extend for a further 25 years. Indonesia has already relaxed ownership rules for apartments, allowing foreigners to buy units worth more than 10 billion rupiah or $720,000. Listener, that was the news from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Listener, here is commentary entitled Afghan Peace Talks Begins. Afghanistan, the United States, Pakistan and China on Monday held a meeting in Islamabad to discuss peace in Afghanistan. Deputy Foreign Minister of Afghanistan Hekmat Karzai and Pakistani Foreign Minister Azaz Chaudhry met under the initiative of Richard Olson, Special Representative of the United States to Afghanistan and Pakistan, and General Anthony Rock, the United States Defense Representative in Pakistan, as well as the Chinese Special Envoy for Afghan Affairs, Deng Xichun, while the Taliban was not invited into the meeting. In the joint statement, the participants stressed the need for immediate direct talks between Afghan government and the Taliban to end the conflict in the country. Pakistan's foreign policy advisor, Sartaj Aziz, said that the main purpose of the reconciliation process is to create a condition to bring Taliban into the negotiating table. They were given incentive in order to avoid the vile means to achieve the political goals. This statement was in response to Afghan accusations that Pakistan was determined to use the violence against Taliban forces who are not willing to negotiate. The talks on Monday came as Taliban intensified the anti-government attacks in Afghanistan and seized more territory than ever before. That is, since the group was ousted from the power 14 years ago. However, Taliban could only slice the regions in rural areas that are difficult to reach. Until now, the Afghan government has not hinted at what political and economic incentive that may be offered to the Taliban to renounce the violence and participate in a productive peace process. The peace efforts stalled last year after the founder of Taliban, Mullah Muhammad Omar, was killed a year earlier. His death sparked an internal split to determine the new leader of the group. The presence of the United States and China reflects the urgency of the situation so that the negotiations immediately can begin. China has a history of close relations with Pakistan, while United States once fought a war against the Taliban. One of the Taliban factions said it would not negotiate with the Afghan government before negotiating with the United States directly. Taliban also wants its representative office in Qatar under the flag of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan recognized. In addition, they also want to remove the Taliban from the United Nations list of terrorists and Taliban fighters in Afghanistan freed from imprisonment. However, the president of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani, has refused official recognition to Taliban. And then, it seems hope for peace in Afghanistan is still very small. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Well, listener, it's nice to be with you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event taking place in January 13. In January 13, 1941, the alleged countries of the World War II convened in London, England. The convention initiated by Churchill was organized with the aim at unifying their policy against Germany and Italy. The countries present the meeting were represented by delegates from Netherlands, Belgium, France, Greece, Norway, Luxembourg, Denmark, and England as a host. We continue with the event on which Japan apologized for forcing Korean women into sexual slavery during World War II. Approximately 200,000 women in Korea, China, and some Southeast Asian countries had been forced into sexual slavery by the Japanese military during World War II. active Korean women who had been victims of Japanese military sexual slavery filed for compensation and asked for an apology to the Japanese government. In January 1992, a newspaper, Asahi Shimbun, published an article that revealed the recruitment of Korean women to become prostitutes in World War II. The Korean women were forced to accompany the military as a volunteer corps. After the publication of the article, the then Prime Minister of Japan, Kiichi Miyazawa, apologized to the then South Korean President, Roh Tae-woo, in January 13, 1992, when he visited Korea. We come to an end with the event that occurred in January 13, 2001, on which an earthquake hit El Salvador. An earthquake measuring 7.6 on Richter scale occurred at around 5:33 UTC with an epicenter 60 miles or around 100 kilometers in the southwest San Miguel at a depth of 60 kilometers. The earthquake devastated El Salvador. At least 944 people were killed, 5,565 people were injured, 108,261 homes were destroyed, and more than 150,000 buildings were damaged in El Salvador. Approximately 585 of the deaths were caused by landslide in Santa Tecla and Comasacua. The quake was felt from Mexico City to Colombia. Listener, that was Today in History. Thanks for listening.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm here, Mana Rahmana, in our regular program, Foy Green, over Aerial Service Voice of Indonesia. The theme of our Foy Green we highlight today is that Peak Restoration Agency is under President authority. The government of Indonesia will restore peat land to improve governance of peat in Indonesia. Thus, it is currently discussing the establishment of the plant peat restoration directly under the President authority. The special agency is expected to coordinate cross-ministerial to restore physical peat, to synchronize regulation and to embrace the international world. Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya said a number of ministries will become partners of the peak restoration agencies such as the Minister of Environment and Forestry, the Minister of Agriculture and Special Planning, Hun Ministry and the Minister of Rural Development of Disadvantage and Transmigration. In addition, peak restoration agency will also license with international organizations or some other countries. In line with the establishment of the temporary restoration of peat, which is focused to fix the damaged peatland and forest fire last year, the government is to revise the government regulation on management of peat. The new government regulation will contain the management and the explanation of peatland and how the handling of the burned land. In principle, the draft government regulation is entering the final stages of the administrative process at the Ministry of Just the Peatlands, but also to synchronize a number of policies and regulations that overlap. Take, for example, Inyoman said the regulation of Agriculture Ministry allows water peat to be lower from 60 to 80 centimeters. In fact, it said based on the government regulation, the peat ground water level is 40 centimeters. A depth of more than 40 centimeters is categorized damage unless the peat lands have a thickness of less than 1 meter. On the other hand, State Secretary Pratikno said that the establishment of the peak restoration agency is the commitment of the government that doesn't want the forest fires to happen again. He affirmed that the Peak Restoration Agency is a response of the government that the peak land management requires a special handling. Listener, that was Foy Green today. Thanks for listening.
Listener, here's the headlines of several national newspapers published today, January 13, 2016. We begin the headlines with Kompas newspaper, which wrote state policy guidelines should not be a problem. Indonesia needs the state policy guidelines to implement the sustainable development. However, the idea by the Indonesian Democratic Party of Struggle or PDIP on state policy guidelines should not create any problem. because the amendment of the 1945 Constitution in the First National Working Meeting of PDIP, which is recommended to be implemented only to grant the People's Consultative Assembly to arrange and decide the state policy guidelines, can spread to other regulations in the Constitution. Happened in the recent political condition that can be exhausting and bringing uncertainty to the national life. The hope that 1945 Constitution amendment will not happen had been conveyed by several members of the Regional Representative Council or DPD on Tuesday. They demand the amendment to apply the whole Constitution, not only the state policy guidelines. Therefore, the change needs to be done, for instance, to strengthen the DPD authority. Listener, we continue with Tempo. Setia Novanto refuses to testify. The former chairman of the House, Setia Novanto, refused to attend the examination held by the Attorney General Office on Wednesday, January 13, 2016. Initially, Setia would have been examined related to the conspiracy allegation on the Freeport working contract extension. Setia's lawyer, Mark Dir Ismail, said the rejection was done because the case is still on investigation. Moreover, according to Mark Dir, the evidences used by the attorney were weak. For instance, the validity of Setia's conversation record with the oil businessman Muhammad Riza Khalid and Freeport Indonesian President Director Maruf Syamsuddin, which is still seen to be violating the law on electronic information and transaction, the law on intelligence, as well as the criminal code. Then, Mark Dir added, of the 16 examined witnesses, only Maruf who was in the meeting. The CCTV recording and the hotel bill, according to him, are not strong enough to be an evidence. Meanwhile, Pikiran Rakyat wrote, three Garut residents missing. Three residents of Garut Regency were reported to be missing since several days ago. Allegedly, the case was related to the activities of Gerakan Fajar Nusantara or Gavatar Group, which is indicated to be in the other region. The case is still worked by the West Java Police. And the case was reported by Herdiadi Atmaja of the Regol Sub-District, Garut Kota District, Garut Regency. He reported that his wife Winarti, along with two of his daughters, Sri Putri Rahma and Andi Permana, were missing. They secretly left their home since December 29, 2015. And listener, we end today's headlines with Media Indonesia still on the missing people and Gavatar organization. Media Indonesia in its headlines wrote, strengthen nationalism. Recently, the police in several regions were busy with the missing person reports. Even in the recent 6 months, the Yogyakarta Regional Police received 15 reports. Allegedly, the missing people were involved in the Gavatar organization. The head of National Police Public Relations Division, Inspector General Anton Charlian, said, Gavatar is a dangerous group. Gavatar uses love and anti-violence principle to cover their mouths to recruit the people. The group offered some relief in the religion. For instance, Anton said, the Muslims are not obligated to pray or sholat, fasting, and go on Hajj pilgrimage. For those who are looking for simplicity, according to Anton, the offer by Gavatar is very enticing. With the missing people trend related to Gavatar group, MPR Chairman Zulkifli Hasan said, strengthening Pancasila ideology to prevent such threat towards the national life is important. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. Welcome back, listener. Here is news in brief. Indonesian military will deploy more personnel and additional weapons to protect eastern outer islands, which currently lack security, saying an improved watch on border areas will prevent smuggling, sea crimes, incursions, and other threats to Indonesia's sovereignty. Despite improvement in the domestic economy, Indonesia must remain aware of the Chinese effect, as that country's volatile stock market and depreciating currencies will affect Indonesia's stock market and the rupiah due to the capital outflow. Indonesian Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung said on Tuesday that the Coordinating Minister for Economy will announce the 9th economic policy package soon. Indonesia has allowed foreigners to own houses for up to 80 years in an effort to show a friendlier face to people who might come and bring investment with them. Listener, that was Nusin Brief of our RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz or through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Southeast Sulawesi Province to have a close look at Kolaka Marine tourism potential. Stay tuned. Listeners, Kolaka Regional Government in Southeast Sulawesi keeps developing its marine tourism objects in the region. It is done by seeing the big marine potential in Kolaka. Most area of Kolaka is sea, around 15,000 km with 293.45 km long coastline. One of marine tourism objects which is being developed is Padamarang Islands. Padamarang is a cluster of islands, with the biggest island named Padamarang. This island is developed to be excellent marine tourism object in Kolaka because its nature is still virgin and rich with marine biota. The water of Padamarang Island and surrounding area is 36,000 hectares wide. The cluster of these islands has coral reef ecosystem in the area. The coral reef structure in general can be classified into types of fringing reef. Marine waters are approximately 60 meters deep. The underwater nature is rich in marine life. There are 16 species of coral reef, 13 species of ornamental fish, 17 species consumption fish, 14 kinds of mollusks, and 8 kinds of seaweed. Besides that, almost most of coastal and marine waters have sand substrate, which results in the formation of topography of the beautiful beach, especially in coastal areas facing the high seas. There are various tourism activities which can be held on Padamarang Islands, such as diving and snorkeling to enjoy the beautiful of coral reef and fish. You can also go around the islands by boat while enjoying the natural beauty surrounding Padamarang Islands. If fishing is your hobby, you can do your hobby here and then immediately enjoy the fish. You have coach at Padamarang Seaside. If you want to enjoy the island's sky beauty, you can set a tent at the beach. If you want to stay at night, there is a lodging facility which is provided by local government with some facilities such as bathroom with fresh water and also halls. listeners, to access Padamarang Islands is easy. You can go by airplane from Hasanuddin International Airport in Makassar, South Sulawesi, or Haluelio Airport in Kendari, Southeast Sulawesi, to Sangya Nibandera Airport, which is located at Kolaka City. From the airport, then you can use land transportation to Kolaka City, and it takes around 30 minutes. The distance from Kendari to Kolaka through land transportation is 170 kilometers. It takes around 3 until 4 hours. From Kolaka, you can continue the trip by using a speedboat for around 2 hours to Padamarang. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabularies and idioms as well as their use in conversation. Today's topic is wawancara pekerjaan, or in English means job interview. Well listener, stay tuned. As usual, first, I will introduce you some Indonesian vocabularies and idioms related to our topic today. I will say its words slowly twice and you can follow after me. Wawancara pekerjaan. Wawancara pekerjaan. In English, job interview. Siapa nama Anda? Siapa nama Anda? In English, what is your name? Nama saya. Nama saya. In English, my name is di mana. Di mana. In English, where. Alamat. Alamat. In English, address. Saya tinggal di. Saya tinggal di. In English, I live at. Jalan. Jalan. In English, street. Berapa usia Anda? Berapa usia Anda? In English, how old are you? Menikah. Menikah. In English, marry. Masih bujangan. Masih bujangan. In English, single. Bisa. Bisa. In English, can. Bahasa Inggris. Bahasa Inggris. In English, English. Bahasa Arab. Bahasa Arab. In English, Arabic. Mempunyai. Mempunyai. In English, have. Pengalaman kerja. Pengalaman kerja. In English, job experience. Pernah bekerja. Pernah bekerja. In English, have worked. Sebagai. Sebagai. In English, as. Dosen. Dosen. In English, lecturer. Perguruan tinggi. Perguruan tinggi. In English, university. Terima kasih atas waktu Anda. Terima kasih atas waktu Anda. In English, thank you for your time. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali. In English, You are welcome. Now, we give you an example of conversation between Danu, or A, and Budi, or B. I will say them two times slowly, and you can repeat after me. A. Siapa nama Anda? Siapa nama Anda? In English, what's your name? B. Nama saya Budi. Nama saya Budi. In English, my name is Budi. A. Di mana alamat Anda? Di mana alamat Anda? In English, where do you live? B. Saya tinggal di Jalan Pangrango nomor 5. Saya tinggal di Jalan Pangrango nomor 5. In English, I live at Pangrango Street number 5. A. Berapa usia Anda? Berapa usia Anda? In English, how old are you? B. Usia saya 25 tahun. Usia saya 25 tahun. In English, I am 25 years old. A. Apakah Anda sudah menikah? Apakah Anda sudah menikah? In English, have you been married? B. Belum. Saya masih bujangan. Belum. Saya masih bujangan. In English, not yet. I am still single. A. Apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Inggris? Apakah Anda bisa berbahasa Inggris? In English, can you speak English? B. Saya bisa berbahasa Inggris dan Arab. Saya bisa berbahasa Inggris dan Arab. In English, I can speak English and Arabic. A. Apakah Anda mempunyai pengalaman kerja? Apakah Anda mempunyai pengalaman kerja? In English, do you have any job experiences? B. Saya pernah bekerja sebagai dosen di perguruan tinggi. Saya pernah bekerja sebagai dosen di perguruan tinggi. In English, I had worked as a lecturer in a university. A. Baiklah, terima kasih atas waktu Anda. Baiklah, terima kasih atas waktu Anda. In English, alright, thank you for your time. B. Terima kasih kembali. Terima kasih kembali. In English, you are welcome. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, we introduce you an Indonesian pop singer, Andre Hehasunsa. Well, listener, before we know more about him, let's listen to a song by Andre Hehasunsa entitled Kuta Bali. Happy listening.
Yang indah berdua denganmu.
Listener, the song we have just enjoyed tells a love memory in the island of the god, Bali Island. Bali is very beautiful, even becoming a haven for international tourists. So, it is not surprising if many artists are inspired by the island. The memory of love and the beauty of Bali had inspired Andre Hehanusa to write a song entitled Kuta Bali. This song was really famous in the market and raised the popularity of Andre Hehanusa. Succeed with Kuta Bali, the Ambani singer became more popular through a song entitled Bidadari or The Angel.
semudah itu diriku terbawa ke dalam satu rasa yang berbeda seiring gejolak irama asmara. Dapatkah kau sejenak menghampiri? Dapatkah kau sekilas merasakan relung hati yang kini mengagumi dirimu, parasmu, dan semua tentangmu? Ku ingin ada di hatimu, menggapai maligai nan biru, sebiru cintaku. Usahkah ragu, genggam tanganku, kita menyatu di belai asmara-asmara yang indah dalam pesona ketulusan.
Listener, the talent of Andre Hehanusa, who was born in Ujung Pandang, South Sulawesi, on July 24, 1946, was inherited from his father, who has a hobby in music. At 5 years old, Andre had often listened to his father singing, granting him a beautiful voice. However, he lacked of self-confidence. To begin his debut, he joined a vocal group. Starting from his activities with the vocal group, Andre tried to perform solo. Unsatisfied with singing solo, Andre also tried writing a song, and then some of his songs successfully gave him more fame as a national top singer. Not only fame, Andre Hehanusa also gained 3 awards, namely the Best Newcomer, the Best Music Rhythm and Blues, and Platinum Single Bidadari in the BASF Awards 1996. Anugerah Musik Indonesia, or Indonesian Music Award, also gave him an award as the Best R&B Best Male Artist. Well, listener, to end today's music corner, let's listen to the 2 songs of Andre Hehanusa, namely Terlalu Cinta, or Loving Too Much, and Karena Ku Tahu Engkau Begitu, or Because I Know You. Thank you very much for listening, and see you on the next music corner.
Sisi hatiku malam ini menemani kesepianku. Mengapa kau jauh? Mengapa kau bimbang dalam keraguan yang membuat hati kita berdua tersiksa? Oh, yakinkan diri. Esok hari nanti kita temukan bahagia. Di antara kita, cinta kita, hingga kita terpisah. Oh, oh, yakinkan di hati, semua akan berakhir. Pastikan esok hari nanti kita temukan bahagia.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
yakin dalam hatiku, kau satu yang ku perlu. Ku rasa hanya dirimu yang membuatku rindu. Bila saat nanti kau milikku, ku yakin cintamu takkan terbagi, takkan berpaling, karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Hingga ku pasti menunggu selama apapun itu, demi cinta yang ku rasakan, yang hanyalah kepadamu. Percayalah ku sungguh-sungguh mengatakan semua. Yakinkan hatimu kau milikku, karena ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu. Oh, ku tahu engkau begitu, karena ku tahu engkau begitu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.